Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing? Happy New Year!
Whee! It's a new year. We're going to do things differently this year, like 2 episodes a week.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You're hearing this for the first time probably on Thursday, or if it's far in the future, whenever you're listening to it. That's the interesting thing about podcasts, Matt. Half the people listen to them right when they come out. The other half listen to them 3 years later.
It's great. We got feedback. Hey, great job on this episode. That was a decade ago.
Yeah, exactly. They haven't been around long enough for that to happen, but eventually it will. Before we get started, remind you guys, please, if you like the show, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Really helps us out, really gets more people listening to the show. Please recommend us to your friends, loved ones, family. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Even strangers on the bus.
Don't do that. Please don't yell at strangers on the bus about this podcast.
Don't yell at them. Just, you know, if you see them in a nice Bart Simpson shirt or, you know, see them
okay,
watching
that's,
episode.
Okay, well, you didn't couch it in that, Matt. Okay, if they're wearing a Bart Simpson shirt. Yeah, I agree. There's a nice portal to. So happy New Year, guys. Hope 2014 was good for you. Hope 2015 is even better. On to this week's episode. Bart's dog gets enough. Already referencing the show itself less than like half a season ago. when Bart gets enough. Episode 7F14, written by John Vitti, directed by Jim Reardon, originally aired March 7th, 1991, finished 30 in the ratings for the week, with a Nielsen rating of 13.8, approximately 13 million viewing households, highest rated show on Fox that week. Now, we are seeing why The Simpsons was known as the Fox show, because it was the highest rated one for weeks on end. The chalkboard gag, I will not sell school property! Meh.
Hey, if no one's using it, might as well, you know, get some money out of it.
Notebooks? Textbooks?
Exactly. Yeah. Especially textbooks, well, no one really wants those, I guess.
Not really one of their better efforts. I think we're spoiled by all the jokey ones, and we're seeing a long run of, last week's wasn't, but this last episode wasn't, but this one, really jokey. Yeah.
Not really.
Couch gag, everybody is on the couch, including the pets.
Yay!
Yeah, this episode guest stars Tracy Ullman as what Emily Winthrop. It's very Santa. There's a lot of before we start. I do want to say there's a lot of visual stuff in this episode. Makes it hard to reference in a purely auditory medium, but we'll do our best. A lot of it is focused on Santa's little helper. He is, you know, Homer's getting the newspaper. Santa's little. We're gonna call him SLH because I do not want to say Santa's little helper 100 times. SLH bites the newspaper. We get a point of view of Santa's Little Helper multiple times. I do like that they make like the little predator noise every time you go to his vision. I think that's wonderful because Predator is one of my favorite movies. It's really great. There's also a couple Jaws moments where he's about to eat something. They do the Jaws theme.
It's because it's scary.
Very scary. Santa's Little Helper. Frightening. Terrifying. We jump back and forth at his point of view. Homer doesn't want to eat his breakfast. We find out Lisa has mumps. Her biggest worry about that is if she's going to miss school. It's Lisa.
What a nerd. God, she doesn't like me.
I know. I don't want to fall behind at school. I know. and ask Bart to bring her homework. Santa's Little Helper finally does eat Homer's breakfast. Which, a lot of this is, I don't know, the antics of a not poorly trained dog. I mean, of a poorly trained dog. There we go. I think that's probably the biggest flaw of this episode. But we'll talk about that. Dr. Hibbert gets called. I think this is the clearest reference to The Cosby Show yet. Where he is sitting at a dining room table in the Cosby sweater. With a family of kids that look like it's The Cosby Show.
Oh, it's so sad to think about that now. But back then, it was a great joke.
Yeah, I've been trying to avoid Cosby references lately, but it's kind of hard to when they were very big rivals at the time. Sansla Hooper is tied to the back, in the back 40, as my dad liked to call it, in the backyard. he breaks free from the never break dog collar, tries to get on the bus with Bart, fails, and we kind of spend a little day with SLH. He eats a bug, steals some jerky from the Quickie Mart, scares some ducks. Finally, he plays in a pool from one of their neighbors, some old lady that appears, you know, once in a great while. Does she have a name?
Oh, God, she does, but she even says in this episode, this is Cynthia something or other. Crap. Sylvia Winfield.
Sylvia Winfield. You have no idea the amount of trouble that name got us into, listeners. But she calls in complaining that Santa's Little Helper is in her pool. Homer gets all indignant before he realizes that SLH is no longer tied up like he thought he was and goes to retrieve him. At the same time, we meet Flanders outside, who this is another kind of strange, I don't know, this is the Flanders kind of better than you neighbor more than Flanders religious guy. It's not, he is kind of nice and happy and polite, but he has a nice sneakers on, assassins, as they are called.
Which are awesome. They've got Velcro and a water tongue and all kinds of things we thought were important in shoes in the 90s.
Yeah, they're a clear reference to Air Jordans. I mean, everybody wanted Air Jordans at the time. There's the sneaker culture has changed tremendously since then, but everyone is obsessed with Air Jordans in the 90s because, you know, they're Air Jordans. They would make you play basketball like Michael Jordan, Matt.
Of course. Actually, I didn't want Air Jordans. I just wanted shoes with lights in them.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Me too. Flanders does, like, kind of a pitch for them, almost. It makes Homer want them because he has them, basically. Lisa asks Homer to get her some magazines, specifically Teen Dream, Teen Scream, and Teen Steam. So, yeah, he goes to get Lisa her magazines. I like this because it is the first look at kind of Lisa being like a little girl obsessed with, you know, teen idols.
That's true.
All named Corey.
Oh, there are only eight of them, though.
Eight of them named Corey. And Homer decides to buy some assassins, which are $125. They're very expensive sneakers. He kind of gets a vision of Flanders telling him to buy them.
Who is right? You should always buy expensive shoes.
Obviously. Lisa is home with Marge, and Marge has taken this opportunity, this time with Lisa, to show her the family quilt, which is honestly pretty cool. It looks really nice. It has six generations of work put into it. I really like how they changed the kind of art style and made it really look like a quilt, and it has some nice little sight gags in it. We have pulled this clip, and here it is.
Well, Lisa, here it is. The Bouvier family quilt.
Wow, neat.
It smells historic.
For five generations, women in our family have each added a square to it. Now it's your turn.
Oh, but I don't know how to sew.
Oh, yes, you do. You just don't know it. The memory of a million drop stitches flows in your veins.
Very impressive.
You try it. Ow! You just need to develop a callus. You see? Now that's a sewing finger, honey.
So we get some insight into Marge's indestructible finger. She puts a flame to it, and no damage is done.
Now that's a sewing finger right there.
And it's pretty tough. We see Sansla Hooper flipping through television channels with even a sight of Troy McClure not done by Phil Hartman.
Just sad.
Just a crying shame. I forgot that even happened. I guess it's best not to speak about it. But Sansla Hooper eats the sneakers. And this is at this point, and we go to commercial with Homer angry at Sansla Hooper from eating his sneakers.
And when we come back, we see Homer with a new collar for Santa's Little Helper that is gigantic and so heavy Santa's Little Helper can barely open up or barely lift his neck. And we see Marge flipping through the yellow pages looking for obedience schools, because that's what you did before the internet, kids. It was awful.
Yeah. People still do it, man.
I know. I do have grandmothers and grandfathers. But
yeah, exactly.
There are quite a few joke obedience schools, one of which is Marvin Monroe's, who says, your dog's not the problem, you are, which in actuality is true.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly the truth, which is probably my biggest problem with this episode.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's not the dog's stupid. Even stupid dogs can learn things. I know, firsthand experience.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a testament to even, like, to that Tide, you guys have trained Tide so well, is that Santa's Little Helper is, I don't even think as dumb as Tide is. And I think he could learn eventually he does.
That's true. I actually feel really bad for Bart in this episode. It's like, why would you leave training of a dog to a kid? They have no idea what they're doing. So it's like Marge and Homer should be doing this, not Bart, even if it's Bart's dog, because Bart has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the episode. So, they eventually land on a obedience school run by Emily Winthrop, which is Tracy Ullman, doing a guest voice and doing a absolutely phenomenal job. We've said it before, but in this episode, the guest stars, especially since they're not playing themselves, they're playing actual characters, do a phenomenal job. And
I would say that she's the highlight of this episode. She's the best part.
She absolutely is. I mean, she is in, I think, our next clip coming up, and you feel that she is this character. She pretty much embodies it, which is kind of weird when it's a stuck up, you know, English dog trainer, but she does a fantastic job at it. And so you see Bart take Santa's Little Helper to this obedience school, and it's, like we said, run by a stuck up English woman, and very much into the discipline, theory of dog training.
Well, I mean, to be fair, she's a little over the top, but to be fair, not too over the top. I mean, it really is. I mean, her emphasis on choke chains is a little crazy, but you really do have to be very, I mean, dogs, especially dumb ones, you have to kind of just hit them over the head until they understand.
Well, you have to be very quick with the praise and quick with the discipline, but more praise than discipline. Either way, at this school, they're more on the discipline.
Yes, yes.
So we see them start to do a little bit of a montage, and we actually cut to Lisa and Marge watching soap operas while Lisa is still at home from school. They're both working on the quilt, and we get to see a absolutely ridiculous example of a soap opera. Something being pregnant, and the guy being a jerk, and a priest coming back from the dead.
Yeah, this guy was dead. I remember that.
And something about somebody coming out of a coma because they know where somebody's body is buried. It's a soap opera.
It's a soap opera. And frankly, for those of you who have never watched a soap opera, like the ones they do air during the day, they are pretty racy for airing at like 11 o'clock or noon or whatever.
It's mostly bored housewives watching them, and bored housewives who work can tape them on their old VCRs.
Aunt Matt and maybe young men who are home sick from school.
Robbie, you're trying to tell us something here.
No, not at all.
Are you a General Hospital guy or a As the World Turns kind of guy?
I dabble.
Okay, so we then cut to the obedience school montage, more of Santa's Little Helper and Bart trying to get through this, and it's actually funny because most of the people there are kids with their dogs, so maybe it's supposed to be a kids class or whatever, but...
Well, Jacques is there too.
That's true. I think in most of the classes it's the kids, but at the end I think Jacques is there as well. But you see all the other dogs having no problem with it. They're rolling over, they're sitting, they're staying, they're doing a fantastic job at pretty much everything, and Santa's Little Helper, of course, is having none of this. He's, you know, scratching himself, he's biting himself, he's running around, doing whatever he wants to do, essentially. And, of course, there's poor Bart, who's just trying everything he can to get it so that he can keep his dog, because Homer and Marge are basically, at this point, threatening to give away Santa's Little Helper if he doesn't pass this. So after a little bit of that, we cut to Homer taking back his assassins and saying, oh, yeah, my lovable dog was bringing in my shoes when they fell apart in his mouth. And of course, the squeaky voice teen is like, no. Sorry, our warranty doesn't cover, was it fire theft or acts of dog?
Acts of dog, which that's a nice gag. That's a good joke. You know, dog, God, that's good. Yeah. I like it.
And so a disappointed Homer leaves the store, and as he comes out, sees a giant cookie and a girl offering samples. And apparently this is a macadamia nut cookie, or sorry, a macadamia nut cookie. So
he
is literally covered
in crumbs.
Oh yeah.
After he eats those cookies.
He just starts wolfing down all the samples, and the girl's like, oh, you can buy one for $1. And of course Homer gets pissed at the thought that, oh, he has to pay for cookies.
Very indignant.
Which of course means Homer is going to buy a giant cookie and bring it home with him.
And I don't know if cookies have gotten larger in the intervening years, Matt, because the cookie Homer brings home looks like a cookie I would buy at Panera Bread or whatever.
Exactly. It's big, but it's not, you know, a cookie cake kind of big.
Maybe cookies have just, like, ballooned with the American wasteland.
I think cookies have bifurcated. They've gone to be tiny or gigantic. There's no in the middle anymore.
I guess that's true.
But when Homer brings it home, he puts a note on it saying, this is Homer's cookie, do not eat. And then he sticks it in the cookie jar, or attempts to, and when he can't fit it, he just leaves it there. Which, anybody with a dog knows you can't leave food out. Even the very well-behaved dog, you don't leave food out, or food that is that easily accessible. If Santa's little helper got the sneakers from the top shelf of the closet, he's gonna get a cookie. Come on. Obvious.
Yeah.
But anyway, we then cut to Lisa and Marge. Basically, Lisa is showing off her contribution to the quilt, using the two biggest musical influences on her life, Mr. Largo, who taught her that even the most what does she call it? Even the most beautiful piece of music could be drained of its soul, and
yeah.
Bleeding Gums Murphy, who says that music's got fire in your belly, so you better put an instrument in front of it, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Great job there.
I that is probably my favorite part visually of this episode is that quilt, because it's really interesting seeing kind of the history of the Simpsons women or the Bouviers, I should say. But
and we also learned in this episode the Bouviers are a Southern family, apparently.
I guess so. Big Tobacco.
Yeah. But at this point, you see, at the end of the previous scene, you see Santa's little helper obviously jump up beneath the cookie, and then as Lisa and Marge put the quilt down, real quick, they do a very E.T. thing where Lisa shows her brand new sewing callus to Marge, and they touch fingers like in E.T., and it's adorable.
Yeah.
Eh?
I don't know about it. I don't like E.T.
Oh. Okay, neither do I, fair enough. they put the quilt down, and they leave the room, and you see Santa's little helper once again in his predator vision and hear the Jaws music, and you see him jump up and just start to destroy the quilt. And then you see where Marge and Lisa have gone downstairs to get Homer and bring him to show him Lisa's contribution to the quilt. And you pan in to see Santa's little helper still destroying the quilt. And Marge is understandably upset and just starts bawling her eyes out. And Homer, in a surprisingly empathetic turn of phrase, says, oh, Marge, you know, you can't, it's just a thing, you know, it's terrible, but you gotta get over it. And then he sees the note of his cookie and practically loses his mind and starts screaming, this is not happening, this is not happening. Homer immediately, in his distraught state, calls for a family meeting about Santa's little helper. And we cut to a commercial break.
Yeah, they have this discussion about if they want, at this point, if they want to keep Santa's little helper. And both Bart and Lisa are opposed, and strangely enough, it's Homer's idea, but Marge is on board with it, which Homer is, of course, gleefully happy about that he finally has Marge on his side. We pull this whole clip. Here it is.
This is our pet. We can question his integrity and disposition, but we can't question his heart. Are you trying to teach us that the way to solve a problem with something you love is to throw it away?
Oh, Lisa, if they're ever going to pull the plug on me, I want you in my corner, honey.
Oh, all right. If he passes obedience school, we can keep him.
Yay! All right!
So, it's... Bart is tearfully, you know, holding on to Santa's little helper, refuses to acknowledge that they could let him go. And Lisa's the voice of reason here, when she says, you know, would you get rid of something when something is a problem? You just get rid of it, throw it out in the garbage or something along those lines.
To be fair, actually, I think Marge would be the better voice of reason. She's like, well, you know, in actuality, Santa's little helper is terrible. I think Lisa is the voice of the heart rather than reason. She's like, oh, is that you're teaching us that you when something isn't worth anything, just get rid of it?
Well, I would, if you take a pet, it's your pet. You don't just get rid of it when it's a problem.
That's true. And it's so great because when Homer says that, Homer, who is incredibly moved by Lisa's words, tells her, if they're about to pull the plug on me, I want you on my side.
Yeah. But they give Bart the ultimatum. If Santa's little helper passes the obedience school, the training program, they'll keep him. If not, they'll give him away, apparently, to some creepy farmer guy who needs to squeeze Santa's little helper's privates.
Well,
for some reason.
He's just separating his legs to see, you know.
He's not a show dog. He doesn't, you don't need to do that to just a regular dog.
But he has to make sure he can pull a cart.
I know, that's a warning sign that you want your dog doing manual labor. A guard dog, I can understand that. Pulling carts, unless it's a sled dog, which are very specialized animals, don't think it should be pulling carts on a farm. Regardless, the whole third act, a lot of it is a cut back and forth between kind of Bart struggling, feebly trying to get Santa's little helper to behave at school, to follow directions, failing.
Miserably.
Very, very, very bad. Trying to sit still in front of it like a beef Wellington. Fails. Santa's little helper goes, eats the food. All the other dogs are very well behaved, apparently. It's a very good program. At the same time, Homer is trying to give away the dog. Trying to write the ad. I do love Frida Loving Home says I love you on command. Which Marge immediately poo-poos, but I do think that's really funny. Lisa starts a new quilt. Which, that's another Lisa thing she would do. Like, let's start a new tradition. Finally, we get basically, so Lisa starts a new quilt, and Bart is basically making last-ditch effort. He goes to Miss Winthrop's office and basically begs her to pass the dog regardless if he's actually gone through the school. And we pulled this clip. It really highlights Tracy Ullman's excellent performance. Here it is.
Oh, dear.
Since you get paid either way, would it be a big deal to just let my dog pass?
I see. Rubber stamp, thank you very much, next in line. Is that it?
Yeah.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. But perhaps I cling to the old ways like a well-chewed shoe, as the traditions I was weaned on are put to sleep or neutered one by one. But my time has not passed yet. The world does not need another college graduate who doesn't know how to sit.
He'll sit. He'll sit. Come on, boy. Sit. Sit. Blah, blah. Blah, blah.
Pull the chain.
Huh?
Correct the dog.
I don't want to strangle my dog.
Pull the bloody chain, boy!
I'm sorry, boy. I can't help being dumb.
You can see Tracy Ullman really does do, like, a great job with what is basically, like, a very tropey kind of stuffy British character. She really gives it a lot of personality. I mean, Tracy Ullman is a really good actress and comedian, so it makes sense. She did a good job. I mean, in this, her show is where The Simpsons were born. So I think it's fun that she came back and did a voice. But ultimately, she holds up her standards. She thinks her standards are too high. She doesn't believe in passing a dog just because she got paid. You know, she has to uphold the rigorous standards of her school.
It's weird to see somebody with integrity, especially on The Simpsons.
Like, yeah. Yeah. But Bart understands reluctantly, and we get his last hours with Santa's little helper. He's trying to, like, cram study with him, trying to, which is, I guess, the best analogy I can come up with, like trying to teach him everything the night before the exam. And Lisa just comes to him and is like, Bart, he's not getting it. He's not going to. Just enjoy your last hours with him. So he plays with Santa's little helper, hits him in the face with a frisbee, which is great. I love it.
What a smart dog.
Oh, yeah, they use that clip a couple times in the future for clip shows and stuff. But Santa's little helper get hit right in the face, right in the eyes with a frisbee. But, you know, eventually he kind of breaks down and has like a little kind of a heart moment. He starts tearing up and he's trying to like, he's really upset that Santa's little helper just doesn't understand it. And I would relate it to kind of the moment in Crepes of Wrath when Bart finally understands French.
It just pops into his head. Oh, that's how that works.
Yeah, like suddenly Santa's little helper understands all the commands. Like everything else is still gibberish, which he's been hearing the entire time. He hears sit and stay, roll over, shake, all those things. He understands them finally. And we cut to the graduation ceremony at the school where he performs in front of the entire 10 students that are there.
Yeah.
And Miss Winthrop and the family. Homer eventually starts clapping and cheering along with everyone else. And we got it has an Animal House ending, you know, where they throw up their mortar boards and then they have like little text descriptions of what happens to a few of the animals.
Which is so sad and terrible.
I know, that poor dog eats a poisonous toad. Santa's little helper is bites Bart. Homer doesn't care.
That's right.
Is that what it's? Yeah.
That's what dogs do.
Yeah. Anything we missed? Frank Welker does the voice of Santa's little helper. Frank Welker is a very, very busy voice actor. Does the voice of Megatron and Nibbler also in Futurama. So he's the go-to voice actor for animal noises everywhere. Look at his IMDb page. It is miles long because he does characters like Buffalo.
Yeah.
But he's very talented. I'm not going to take that away from him. And he does, obviously, non-animal voices, too.
One thing I did want to point out is right there at the end, you see when Santa's little helper gets his diploma, you see everyone clapping. And Homer at first starts out very reluctant, like, yeah, I guess we have to keep the dog. But as he starts clapping more and more, he gets really excited. And I don't know why that is. I'm sure there could be lots of reasons for that. I just think it's funny that Homer's like, you know what, screw it. We have an awesome dog now, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my main criticism of this episode is its premise.
Yeah.
Like, they have Bart try and train the dog. Why not Homer try and train the dog? An adult who can actually, you know, understand how to do it.
Hey, just because they haven't done that episode yet doesn't mean they won't.
I know, but it's... I know, I don't care. Like, animals behave the way because of the way you... They're not complicated. It's not a gorilla. It's a dog. You can train a dog very simple. I mean, it's just repetition and discipline. Discipline in the... And not even discipline in, like, being strict with it, but being just...
Consistent.
Paying attention. Paying attention consistent, yeah, with its behavior. I understand it's a premise for a cartoon show, but still...
It kind of felt like a bad live-action primetime sitcom. Like, this could have been an episode of Step by Step or Family Matters.
Guess that's true as well. I think that's our biggest critique of a lot of these early Simpsons episodes, is the fact that they're not necessarily... I mean, there are a lot of things in this that are definitely... that are Simpson-esque things. I love that. I wish this entire episode was like the Pizza Dog issue of Hawkeye. Where we just get Santa's little helper perspective.
That would have been amazing.
Because I love that little moment that where he is just wandering around around Springfield, like eating a bug and going to Quickie Mart and jumping in a pool. I thought that was really fun. There's a lot of good character stuff in here, but it's kind of, you know, it's about the Santa's little helper, who's never shown a lot of character other than that I'm a dog and Bart loves me. And I love Bart. Like, those are the things that Santa's little helper has.
Yep.
Mm. But we will rank it at the end of the show. Next up, comments from the newsgroup. I got a few things. The music video of Deep, Deep Trouble premiered with this episode. A lot of hubbub about that. because that Simpsons album was still Simpsons Sing the Blues was still kind of in the zeitgeist at the time. Someone is posting about the new Simpsons pinball games that are springing up in arcades, which I would murder somebody for right now. Original Simpsons arcade machine. I probably could find one. They probably are expensive and or don't operate, but maybe when I get a house. Let's see. There's some notes about it. When you lose a ball, a low score results in Bart saying, "Hey, man, looks like we're both underachievers." And then a game with a decent score has Burns saying, "Smithers, fire that man." Apparently, a lot of people are stealing the Bart that is holding that is like bolted to the machine. Because this guy knows what number socket wrench to undo the bolts are. Finally, we have a post from a guy named Terry. It's really fun. Mostly it's referencing how The Simpsons has replaced Murphy Brown as his favorite TV show. I think it's really interesting. He asks at the end, "Can Matt Groening and company keep it up? I hope so. I'd hate to see The Simpsons go the way of Murphy Brown."
Well, I think it's really interesting in his comments. He's like, "Oh, I love the sarcastic tone that Murphy Brown used to have, and I used to watch Murphy Brown, and it did in later seasons when she had a baby or whatever, kind of went, you know, less acerbic." And it's funny because I feel like the Simpsons were still on their way up in terms of the sarcastic tone. So I think for a while though, he got what he wanted.
Yeah. It's, well, certainly if you mean by go the way Murphy Brown as being canceled, Simpsons has not happened. That has not happened to Simpsons yet. But about overall tone of the show, debatable. But that's about it. Obviously, the normal things, as always. You guys can go. It's the alt.tv.simpsonsnewsgroup. It's on Google Groups. You guys can, if you search, go do Google search for it. You can find it. You can do an archival search it. I look up the week of the episode and see what's happening. Next up, this is the first time doing this, so we're going to see how it goes. We're not doing two listener questions a week. We're just doing one. We're going to place that with something we're calling the No Google Trivia Challenge. The way this works is that both Matt and I are going to bring to the show three questions, trivia questions, about The Simpsons. One easy, one medium, and one hard question each, and quiz each other without using Google, just from our craniums, from our old brains, see if we can answer. You know, if we can't, our shame will be shown far and wide to everyone who listens, how dumb we are about the show that we claim to love. If we get them right, we will be applauded and carried on shoulders of everyone.
You know,
right? Right.
Figuratively.
Figuratively.
The mental shoulders.
Probably not a good idea to carry people around when they're...
Especially over the internet. Whew.
Over the internet stuff, yeah. So I'd say we each do our easy question, each do a medium question, each do our hard question. How's that sound?
Though? Sounds efficient.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the other way is we all do. One of us does all their questions, the other person does all their questions. I think having them next to each other is more interesting.
Like it.
Okay. I'll go first. How about that?
All right.
You ready?
Ready.
For our first, this is my easy question. What is Sideshow Bob's last name?
I believe Sideshow Bob's full name is Robert Underdunk Terwilliger.
Terwilliger is correct. You're right. Shoot, Matt.
All right.
Anyway, the best shot.
In the episode Black Widower, who is the person that actually blows up the hotel room?
That's the easy one?
I can make it easier. I can come up with an easier one.
I know the answer. I'm just saying. That's
okay.
Not,
okay.
That's
we'll go easy. With something a little easier then. All right.
Wiggum. Wiggum. Lighting a. Isn't it Wiggum or?
It's Wiggum. Yeah.
I think it's Wiggum. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll come up with something easier. All right. Let's see. Oh, in the episode Mr. Plow, who is Homer's plowing competition?
Barney.
That is correct.
And Barney Gumble.
And what is Barney's company, Robbie, for the bonus round?
You should be a game show host, man. It's Plow King.
That's correct, with his good friend Linda Ronstadt.
I know Linda Ronstadt with her Spanish rendition of the Plow King theme song.
All right. So, medium question to you.
Okay. Oh, I'm answering. Okay, I thought you were going to hit me back.
No,
okay. No, okay. My medium question is, what was the happiest day in Ralph Wiggum's life?
That would be the day he found out he didn't have worms.
Correct. Yes. That's a good question. I like it.
I love Ralph.
Yeah, Ralph.
All right. My medium question to you. What was the name of the iguana that was formerly with Marge's mom and eventually with Selma?
Jub Jub.
That is correct. And what was Marge's mom trying to do with Jub Jub when Selma went to get him?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Oh, she was trying to stab him with a hat pin.
Oh, Jesus. God. I didn't remember that at all. Okay, that is, and that was, also, that name was thought of by Conan O'Brien. And he actually, was it last year? I think it was 2 years ago, it was World Series, when Joe Buck. He had Joe Buck on his talk show, and he bet him that he couldn't fit Jub Jub into the World Series commentary.
Nice.
And he did. He did. Joe Buck, maybe not the best announcer, but certainly a sport for doing that. You ready for the hard question, Matt?
I am ready.
This is, I know you'll know roughly. The hard part is naming all of them. What are the five different hammock stores that Albert Brooks comes up with?
Oh, God.
As Hank Scorpio in You Only Move Twice.
Let's see. There's Hammocks R Us.
Right.
There's the Hammock Hut.
Two.
There's Put Your Butt There.
Three.
There is, oh, God. Oh, God, I can't remember the last two. Oh, I'm not going to waste any more time. What are the last two?
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Oh, of course.
And lastly, Marianne's Hammocks.
Marianne's Hammocks. Oh,
if you're lucky, she'll get in the hammock with
you. That's right. Ah. All right. You have bested me today, sir.
Well, it's the hard question. I'll obviously know that scene, but remembering all five, that's the tricky part.
All right. So I don't think this one is quite that hard. But okay. I'm going to hit you with it. All right. Who taught Homer's remedial science class at the Learning Annex, and why?
Remedial science. Yep. Cue the Jeopardy theme music. I want to say no, I can't think of it.
Now, as we recall, Homer did not graduate high school because he failed science. And when he went back to night school, this person returned as his teacher.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Are you fishing?
Can't remember
up?
The name. Yeah, I give up.
All right, it was Principal Dondelinger.
Dondelinger. Yeah, it's like it has to be. I'm like, what's his name? We just had it too, the way we was. But
That's what made me think of it. And he was teaching the class because his wife recently passed away. But thankfully, that is not going to be on the test.
Okay,
no need to take notes on that.
So we both got the easy and the medium. Both failed in the hard, even though Matt did get partial credit.
Hard questions are hard.
Hard questions are hard for a reason. You guys, I will take suggestions for questions, but obviously only I'm going to see them. So
Robbie can take suggestions. I will apparently come up with them all on my own.
I'll probably end up making them most of my own, but, yeah, you guys can suggest questions if you like, or twists on it that you'd like to see. We're certainly open for suggestions about the segment as a whole. We definitely love doing kind of a trivia challenge, something or other. If you guys have any other ideas, please let us know. I will mention that you can find us on our social media at Facebook, The Simpsons Show Pod, Facebook.com. That's Facebook.com/ The Simpsons Show Pod, at Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod. Finally, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Finally, it is time for the segment we end every show with, and that is Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt?
This is another tough one. Because, it's good.
Is it? Okay, let me ask you a question. Is it better than Dancing Homer?
It's definitely better than Dance and Homer, I would say.
Okay, so that's the low point in season two so far. Yeah. Is it, let's say, is it better than Bart the Daredevil?
No, I don't think it's better than Bart the Daredevil.
Okay, how about better than Simpson and Delilah?
That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking in that range. Better than Simpson and Delilah? I don't think so. I really don't.
How about, is it better than Krusty Gets Busted? That's our number one from season one.
I know. That's what's giving me a trouble. What do you think?
I would put it probably... How about... Is it better than Moaning Lisa?
I think it's better than Moaning Lisa.
Okay. How about Treehouse of Horror?
Better than Treehouse of Horror. I would say no. You know, you're right. It's probably not as good as Treehouse of Horror.
Okay, and then is it better or worse than Bart the General? This will decide.
Honestly, no, I don't think it is.
So that would put it at new number 17.
I think so.
Okay. I can, this is a very kind of vague episode. Like, multiple times we were trying to remember exactly when things happened, and that's not generally a good idea. Not a good sign that it was a particularly memorable episode. I know Matt had, you had good memories of it.
Yeah, I mean, I had fond, you know, indications in my memory, but I didn't remember a whole lot about the episode itself. I remembered the cookie and the shoes and Santa's little helper, but that was about it. But after watching it again, and like we said, it could be an episode of any sitcom at the time. There's nothing particularly Simpson-y about it.
And yeah, they fit in like a lot of clever gags and stuff like The Simpsons do, but the plot itself is just kind of like, can they tame the dog before the end of the episode? So that this is not a hill I don't really care enough about this episode to argue too much about it, but I think 17 is a fine spot for it, right in the middle. So new number 17, Bart's dog gets an F. Right above Moaning Lisa, right below Bart the General. Yes, you can find this list at our website, simpsonsshow.com. I update it as often as I remember. Please tell me if you find it's outdated. You can find links to all our social media there, links to RSS feed if you want to subscribe to us through RSS. New episodes, obviously, downloadable streaming. You can contact us, donate to the show if you'd like, all those things, check it out. Next episode, Matt, what are we doing?
Next episode is Old Money.
Old Money, first really Abe Simpson episode, right?
Yep, first one.
Yeah, first one. I have fond memories of it, but we will see how it goes.
We'll see if those memories hold up.
Yes. Before we go, I want to say you can follow me online at Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. See everything I get up to online. Check out my comic book podcast, Hans Boys Comics Hour. Find us at HansBoysComicsHour.com. Matt does not participate in social media, so don't bother looking for
That's
him.
True. However, if you do give money to homeless people, I am the accountant for many of them, so you could pass a message through them if you like.
I am caught speechless, but I think we'll call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.